introduce our main speaker today, Duane Fleming. God gave Duane Fleming to us back in the early 1990s when we had just recently left a denomination. We're having a new constitution, new statement of faith, a lot of anxiety about the future, uncertainty, and God made a divine appointment for us and Duane Fleming. The scriptures often talk about the church being like a temple, a house, and it has foundations. And those foundations are described as the kinds of people that can plant churches and oversee churches and flourish churches. But not only that, they have the character to be honest, to be faithful, to endure. And Duane Fleming has stuck with us through thick and thin since the early 90s. And most recently, he has stuck with us, even though he himself has taken a great personal loss, the loss of his wife a few months ago. He just continues to be with us in service. I wonder if we could welcome him with a good hand of appreciation and hear what the Lord would say to us through him today.
Thank you, thank you. Please. Thank you so much. And it is very, it's great to be with you. Christ Community Church here in Ottawa has really become like a second home to me. I love this place. I love the people. It's always great to see old friends, some that I haven't seen for a while, and then to meet new folks that I haven't met yet. And as I look around today, I see a number of new faces, and certainly welcome you. If it's your first time or if it's your thousandth time, I don't know. We're thankful that you're with us. I'm grateful for the wisdom that Pastor John shared with us today with regard to the situations that we face. I totally agree with that, and we need to be praying. We need to be in prayer for our leaders and everyone involved. And in some way, it affects us all, doesn't it? So today, as John mentioned, this is the first time that I'm with you since the passing of my wife 3 months ago. And it's also the first sermon that I've preached. I realized as I was thinking about it this morning, oh my goodness, I haven't preached since having a surgery. Last month I had another surgery on my voice. I went through quite an ordeal here in the last year with a cancer, thyroid cancer, and actually it left me with my left vocal cord is paralyzed, and they did a surgery and inserted something, Gore-Tex, they said, whatever that is. I thought it was insulation you put in your coat, but they put that in my throat. So it's the first time I've preached since then. They told me that I'd have about a six-week recovery from that process. It's been a little over a month now, and I think my voice is actually a little stronger. However, I've noticed that it's kind of like going through puberty. You never know when you talk because it could squeak at any moment. And so if it does, you can laugh. That's okay. So that's the way it is. Anyway, hopefully it won't squeak too much. This morning I want to bring a simple message that I've just titled, Don't Worry, Be Prayerful and Thankful. Those of you that are over 50 probably remember the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, right? Remember that? Actually, it was the first, I just was looking it up. It was written in 1988. It was the first a cappella song to become the number one hit on the charts in that year, 1988. Well, don't worry, be prayerful, is what my message is today. The truth is, the truth is, and this is a confession, but I like Christ Community Church because they let you confess. One of the things that I confess is I've been a bit of a worryholic all my life. And I'm a recovering worryholic, right? That's what I like to think of myself. The problem is sometimes I fall off the wagon. Hopefully I won't fall off the wagon here today. But I'm talking, this message is I'm talking to myself, okay? I'm preaching to myself. And I invite you to eavesdrop. You can listen in. And hopefully some of the things that I have to say today will be helpful for you. My text is from one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Actually, it was my wife, Gloria's, favorite portion of Scripture. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, I'm essentially going to work through these two verses today backwards. What I mean by that is I'm actually going to start in verse 7, and then we're going to work to verse 6. But verse 7 describes what a win looks like. So I want to start there, okay? Here's the win that we find described there in verse 7. The win is we can experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. How many like that? Are you ready for that? I'd like that, right? We want that. Now, that's a real win. Of course, we live in a world that's full of anxiety. There's all kinds of things to worry about. How many know? There's a few things, okay? If nothing else, what about the price of gas, right? I filled up in Ohio before I came here at Sam's Club for $4.68 a gallon. I thought that was pretty bad. I got to Ottawa. I thought, I'll wait till Ottawa. I made it all the way to Ottawa without having to fill up. I was like, I'll get to Ottawa and get gas. It's like, good grief. It was $5.25 or I don't know what. Okay, so there's plenty to worry about, you know, inflation, the war in the Ukraine, the whole, you know, the whole political thing, the election, whatever. There's plenty to be anxious about. And yet, the Scripture says we can experience God's peace, and that'll exceed anything that we can understand. And, you know, we live in a culture where we think we can almost Google any question we have, right? Except the really big questions, the things that keep us awake at night. You can't ask Siri, or you can, but you'll get a nonsensical answer, right? There's no way you can Google some of these things, like the future and what does the future hold for me and things about life and death and things that we all wrestle with, okay? And yet, the Scriptures tell us we can have a peace. Jesus said it too in John 14, 27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Okay? That's what I want, right? That's a wonderful promise. And yet, many times, we don't experience that amazing peace. And the truth is, even as Christ followers, we still get troubled at times, right? We still get anxious at times. Now, the second part of what Paul gives us here, the second part of that win is this. He says, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It'll guard your heart and your mind. So for those of us who are Christ followers, we say, okay, that sounds really good. How do I get a hold of that? Proverbs 4:23 tells us that we're to, above all else, guard our heart, for everything you do flows from it. Okay? Really important. Really important. But the question then is, how do we do that? And it's not as simple as a little song. It's not like, you know, don't worry, be happy. How do you do that? Don't worry, be happy? No. Paul gives us the strategy, and here's where I want to spend most of my time today, and that's in verse 6. Here's the strategy that he gives us. He says, instead, don't worry, instead, what? Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, some of you are saying, okay, that's way too simple. And I would say, yes, but it's not simple. It's not just that. It's not simplistic, and in one sense it is very simple. I'm thankful that the scripture boils these things down, because I'm a rather simple guy, okay? And he gives us the strategy here. What Paul is saying here is we need to change our default setting. How many know that, and for many of us, and I'm going to include myself here, if we're really honest, our default setting is to get anxious. Our default setting is to worry about these things. What Paul's saying is, no, you've got to change that. Instead of going to anxiety, you've got to go to what? Prayer. It's that simple, yes. But we need to learn how to pray about everything. Now, when you've been worrying all your life, I'm not saying that's going to just change overnight. But here's the thing. We've got to learn to be intentional about this. And how do we do that? Okay, I'm going to give you a little more, because Paul gives us, the scripture gives us a little more. Okay? He says, and by the way, I think before I get to that point, sometimes we think, well, it's easy for that person to say that, okay? You might look at me and say, well, it's easy for him. No, it's not been that easy. I've had to be very, very intentional about this, especially in the last year of my life, okay? As I've dealt with my wife, who had Alzheimer's, and then cancer, as I've dealt with cancer, and yet I can say to you honestly, this works, okay? I'm not just up here telling you some theory. Somebody said to me a while back, they said, well, how are you doing? And there's an awkward thing, and those of you that have lost a loved one, those of you that have gone through a difficult time, you know that it can be really awkward sometimes, you actually even come into church. But if you're walking through that valley, I urge you, don't stay away from church, okay? You need to be in church. But sometimes, so somebody comes up to me, how are you doing? And I never know for sure how to answer that. But I said to this person, and I think it was the Holy Spirit, really. I said, well, I'm having to learn to practice what I preach. And I'm telling you, it's easier to preach than to practice. Some of you know what I'm talking about, okay? But let's think about Paul for a minute, the guy that penned this. When he wrote this, you know what? He was in prison himself when he wrote this. So it's like, it's not just that, oh, this is easy for people who never face any problems. This works for everybody. And it works all the time. And I can tell you that from personal experience. This works. So no matter what it is that you're struggling with, no matter what it is that you're fearful about, that you're anxious about, this works. You can experience the peace of God if you will learn to switch your default mode from worry to prayer, okay? But there's more to it in terms of the prayer part, okay? And so Paul actually, and again, we know he will, in this whole book of Philippians, and I love Philippians. I mean, you know, just before he wrote this in chapter 1, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I win either way." You can't lose when you live like that, okay? But what else is he telling us here in verse 6? Besides, you need to pray about everything. He's also saying, tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Tell God what you need. Don't be afraid to tell God what you need. Nothing is too big for him. There's no situation that any one of you are facing that is like bigger than God, okay? So no, there's no fear you have, no worry you have, no dream you have that's bigger than God. And there's, and I love this, there's nothing too insignificant. There's nothing too small. Wow. So he says, learn to pray about everything. Tell him what you need. There's an example here in the book of Matthew. One day, Jesus was on his way to out of Jericho, and two blind guys hail him down. You know, they're, "Jesus, Jesus." And so he goes over there. Now his disciples are, they were always focused on trying to get him to the next whatever, you know. And so they kind of are trying to actually move him along rather quickly here. And these two guys are like, "Jesus." And Jesus stops. And I love what he does here. It's in Matthew 20, verse 32. He calls to them and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, Jesus knows all things, right? He was God manifest in the flesh. He's omniscient. He knows. So he knew what they wanted. But I think he wanted to hear them say what they needed. I think God wants us to tell him what we need. I think he's asking every one of us the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Are you able to clearly articulate what you want from God? The specific things? I think it's important that we be able to do that. Now, God is for us. We know that. But many of us have little or no idea what we want God to do for us, okay? And that's why our prayers are not only boring, but many times they're ineffective, because we're just kind of in a general sort of way, "God help me, God bless me, God bless the world." You know, it's like, wait a minute. He wants us to be able to articulate what it is, okay? Now, And I like this quote from Mark Patterson. I think we have it on the slide. "Well-developed faith results in well-defined prayers, and well-defined prayers result in a well-lived life." Okay? I believe that, okay? Now, but it's not just about asking God for what I want or need, but it's also about asking God, what is it? What's his agenda? What is it he wants to accomplish in my life? What is it he wants me to be praying for specifically? I think prayer is a two-way conversation. Okay? It's so important that we learn this. And we learn how to ask God to show us what it is he wants us to pray for. And then I also think prayer involves praying your kingdom come. You know, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it is a thing where I can lay out and articulate what it is, Lord, this is what I would like, this is what I feel I need. But Lord, and I've learned over the years to preface my prayers this way, but Lord, you know what's best. And so I do pray for your will to be done. Now, I've actually heard Bible teachers say, we shouldn't pray that. Because, and I understand where they're coming from, their thought is, you might be praying that as kind of a cop-out, just like when you don't have enough faith, okay? But I think we can and should be praying that prayer as well in faith, because the truth of the matter is, we don't always know exactly what we need. We don't know exactly what to ask for. So we're asking the Lord to show us what that might be, and we are praying for his will to be accomplished in us. Prayer, you see, doesn't always change our circumstances, but prayer always changes us. I want to say that again. It doesn't always change our circumstances, but it always changes us. I love this quote by E. Stanley Jones. Prayer, he says, I believe we have this as well, prayer is surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from a boat, I catch a hold of the shore and pull. Do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? You see, prayer is pulling myself closer to my Lord. Amen? It's not just, I'm not bending God's will, so to speak, to my will, but I'm coming into alignment with the will and the purpose and the plan of Almighty God. And so we pray always, and we pray in faith, and we pray for his will to be done. But there's one more thing here that Paul says we need to do when we pray. We need to thank God for all he has done. We need to thank him for all he has done. Don't ever forget this part of the strategy. When we're facing major problems and challenges of various kinds, it's really easy sometimes to forget this part, to forget to be thankful. And, you know, sometimes when people ask me, how are you doing? And I answer, I have so much to be thankful for. And that is an absolute true statement. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that God gave me 48 years with Gloria. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Christ Community Church. Like I said, you guys have become a second home, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful for Shelby and the young people, and how many? 15 coming to our camp. That's exciting. I'm going to definitely need to check out. The camp is just a few miles from where I live, so I'll be there, not all the time, not all night, I know that. But I've got so much to be thankful for. And the thing that I have more than anything to be thankful for is a relationship with the Lord. That's the thing that keeps me going. And God's given me purpose, and he's given me so much. And so it is that when we start praying, we need to be thankful. We need to begin by counting our blessings. I love this old song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Look at the next verse. I love this verse, and it's really the sermon that I've brought to you today. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. As I wrap this up today, I want to challenge you to what I call a prayer experiment. Excuse me. I want to challenge you to this, especially those of you that might be wrestling with anxiety or worry. This is what I challenge you to do. I challenge you to make a commitment to spend at least 10 minutes in undisturbed prayer. You can do that. How much time do you spend on Facebook or whatever? A whole lot more than 10 minutes. And here's what I would challenge you with that. Set a specific time and place. Figure out when it works. You're not going to find the time. You're going to have to make the time to do this, okay? You're going to have to be intentional. You have to make the time. Turn off your phone. Don't think you can be praying and checking Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is you check. You can't. Thank God for what He has done. Tell God what you need. And then pray for at least one other person's need. So my wife, Gloria, she taught a message on a Sunday morning over 35 years ago. She called it her alternate plan of attack. And it's something I still use. And so many people in our church have told me they still remember this. That whenever she would really be hit with fear or anxiety, what she would do is rather than just praying about whatever it was she was anxious about, she would intentionally think about at least one other person and what they were facing. And then she would begin to pray into that situation. And the amazing thing is that as she did that, and as I've done that, it's like the enemy backs off. He does, all of a sudden, I forget what it was I was even anxious about. It works. It's an alternate plan of attack. So I would challenge you with these basic things. And as we wrap up today, we're going to have another worship song, I believe, and we'll close in prayer. Okay? Amen.